All right, diving in today, getting into some pretty key stuff for election law, especially when things get, well, messy. We're looking at Republican National Committee v. Democratic National Committee, that 2020 Supreme Court case. Remember, this all popped up right as COVID was throwing everything into chaos. Wisconsin's primary election, right in the thick of it.
Yeah, a real clash trying to make sure people could vote while, you know, not upending all the usual ways we do elections.
Exactly. And we've got a ton to unpack today, right? We've got the whole backstory of the case, how it wound its way through those lower courts, the big legal points everyone was making to the Supreme Court, what they ultimately decided, and even Justice Ginsburg's dissent, which is always worth a read.
Plus, we've got some analysis pieces that really help break down those legal principles, you know, the nitty-gritty, and what this ruling could mean going forward. Big picture stuff.
So our goal today, and especially thinking of you law students out there, is to really dissect this whole legal situation, you know, get to the heart of what was at stake, why this case is such a landmark for election law, especially when those curveballs come flying and we got to rethink how we run elections. We're going to try to lay out the core elements, the broader impact, all that, without getting too bogged down in the legalese.
Sounds like a plan.
Perfect. So let's zoom back, set the scene. Wisconsin, April 2020, right? First wave of COVID, everything's in flux. What was it like over there?
It was. Well, April 2020. Everyone remembers that, right?
Yeah.
The whole country was trying to figure out what daily life even meant anymore. And in Wisconsin, they were supposed to have their primary election on April 7th.
Big deal. And I bet with all the worry about COVID, people were a lot more hesitant to show up at the polls in person, right?
Absolutely. The number of absentee ballot requests just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Way more people wanted to vote by mail and fast.
Makes sense. And I'm guessing that kind of surge put a huge strain on the folks running the election, right? Like, were they even prepared for that kind of volume?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Their systems, the whole process, it was designed for way fewer absentee voters. Created a huge backlog.
Oh, I bet. So what happened? People requesting ballots but not getting them in time?
Exactly. Voters trying to do the right thing, stay safe, vote from home. But the system just couldn't keep up, couldn't get them their ballots fast enough.
So they're stuck, election day's looming, no ballot in hand. That's where the district court stepped in, right? What did they do?
Right. They saw how tough this was for voters and said, okay, we're extending the deadline for those absentee ballots. They had till April 13th to get those ballots received by election officials.
Okay, so 6 extra days. But here's the kicker, right? They applied even to ballots that were postmarked after the actual election day, April 7th.
You got it. Huge point.
So just to be super clear, someone could have mailed their ballot on, say, April 8th, and as long as it got there by the 13th, it would still count.
You nailed it. The district court was trying to give folks more time, recognizing that mail was slow. Getting those ballots back was tricky, especially in the middle of a pandemic.
Okay, so the district court makes this call. Then what? Does it go up to the Seventh Circuit? Right, appeals court.
Yep, straight to the Seventh Circuit. And they basically agreed with the district court.
So they upheld the extension?
Well, partially. They said some extension was needed, given the crazy circumstances. But the specifics of what they decided aren't super important here.
Gotcha. Because then the whole thing went up to the Supreme Court, didn't it?
You know it. The Republican National Committee appealed, took it all the way to the top.
So the RNC goes to the Supreme Court saying they don't like what the lower courts did. What happens next?
The Supreme Court says, hold on. They issued a stay.
A stay.
Which is a super important legal term.
Hmm.
A stay means they're basically putting a pause on what the lower court said, like hitting the brakes. It's temporary while they do more review.
So not the final word, just a temporary stop?
Precisely. And what they stopped specifically was that part of the district court order that said ballots postmarked after election day could be counted. So ballots postmarked by election day, okay, maybe some leeway there, but after? Nope.
Okay. And this gets us to the big legal question at the heart of this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
How much power do federal courts have to mess with state election rules, especially right before an election?
Exactly. Big question. And here's where a really important legal principle comes in. The Purcell principle. You've probably come across that in your studies, right?
I have, but let's break it down for everyone listening. Some folks might not be as familiar. What's the gist of the Purcell principle?
Okay. So at its core, the Purcell principle is about federal courts being cautious. You know, they shouldn't be making last-minute changes to a state's election rules right before the election happens. The idea is to avoid confusion for voters and make sure the people running the election aren't scrambling to change things on the fly.
Makes sense. You don't want to throw a wrench in the gears at the last second.
Exactly. And think of it this way. They use this analogy a lot. Imagine a basketball game. It's down to the wire, super close. The refs wouldn't suddenly change a major rule, right? It would be chaos, unfair. Purcell is kind of like that, but for elections, it's about keeping things stable and predictable so everyone trusts the process.
I like that analogy. Keeps it clear. So this Purcell principle, it's not like it's written right there in the Constitution, is it?
No, it's not a hard and fast rule like that. It's more like it's developed over time through how the Supreme Court has decided cases. It's their way of saying, hey, let's be careful about messing with elections, especially close to the actual voting. It's about respecting how states run their elections and not letting judges get too involved in politics.
Okay, so back to the case. The Supreme Court blocks that extension for ballots postmarked after Election Day. They're thinking about Purcell, right? What else did they say in their decision?
Well, their opinion was per curiam,
Per curiam.
which means it's an opinion from the whole court, not just one specific justice writing it. They all kind of agreed on this one.
Interesting. So it wasn't a super divided court then.
Not necessarily, no. Sometimes a per curiam opinion means they think the law is pretty clear cut, no need for a big, long explanation. But it could also mean some of them had different reasons for agreeing, and they just didn't want to air that out.
Okay. So back to their reasoning. What did they say about why they blocked that extension?
They leaned heavily on Purcell, big time. They even said something like, extending the date for ballots postmarked after Election Day, that really changes what the election is. Their point was, you can't just change the rules of the game after the game has technically started.
Because then it's not the same game anymore. Right, changes the whole thing.
Right. And they also pointed out that the district court kind of went rogue.
Mitt Road, how so?
The Democratic National Committee, the ones who sued in the first place, they hadn't even specifically asked for the postmark deadline to be extended. They were more focused on other deadlines, like for voter registration and requesting ballots.
Ah, so the district court gave them something they hadn't even asked for.
Exactly. Supreme Court wasn't too happy about that. They said the district court went beyond what they were supposed to do, stepped out of line.
Okay, so two big points from the majority. Bad timing, changing the rules too close to the election, and the district court overstepping their bounds. What about voter confusion, eroding trust in the election? Did they mention that?
They did, big time. They were worried that if courts kept changing election deadlines, especially right before the vote, it would just confuse everyone, voters and the people running the elections.
Chaos at the polls.
Exactly. And that could really damage people's faith in the whole system. If you don't know the rules, or if you think they're changing all the time, you're going to be less likely to trust the results, right?
Makes sense. So we've got the majority opinion all about Purcell and not messing with elections at the last minute. But Justice Ginsburg, she wasn't on board, right?
Right. She wrote a dissent, and it's a powerful
What
one.
was her main point?
She said that extending the deadline was absolutely necessary. She argued it was the only way to stop a lot of people from being denied their right to vote, being disenfranchised because of this whole pandemic mess. She thought the majority was way off base calling this an ordinary election.
And didn't she have that really sharp quote about that?
Oh, yeah, everyone remembers that one. She said, "The court's suggestion that this is an ordinary election boggles the mind."
Yeah, that really sticks with you. So her point was this wasn't a normal situation, and the court shouldn't have treated it like one.
Precisely. She argued that COVID threw up all these obstacles for voters, especially with absentee ballots. People requested them, but because of delays, tons of them didn't get their ballots in time to mail them back by the deadline.
So what were they supposed to do? Risk getting sick to vote in person or just lose their right to vote?
That was her point exactly. Ginsburg said the majority was forcing people into this impossible choice, their health or their vote, and all because they stuck to the rules, even when those rules didn't make sense in a pandemic.
That's rough. So she really felt the court was putting procedure ahead of people's right to vote.
Absolutely. She thought they should have been more flexible, make sure everyone could vote, even if it meant bending the rules a bit because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And she didn't think Purcell should be a hard stop, not in a crisis like this. Ginsburg's dissent, it really makes you think, In a system like ours, where states have a lot of power over elections, when do national interests in fair and accessible voting trump a state's right to run things their own way, especially in crazy times like a pandemic? Ginsburg clearly leaned towards protecting the vote no matter what. The majority, not so much.
Yeah, that's a tension that's not going away anytime soon. So, big clash here. Majority says stick to the rules, avoid last-minute changes to keep things clear and organized. Dissent says voting rights are paramount, gotta be flexible during a crisis, even if it shakes things up a bit. It really highlights some of the core legal issues in election law, doesn't it? Like that tug of war between states running their own elections and the federal government protecting voting rights.
It's the heart of it, yeah. The Constitution gives states a lot of power over elections, but the federal government also has to make sure those elections are fair and everyone can vote. It's a balance, and Purcell is part of that balancing act.
It's saying courts should be careful about messing with states' elections, but also recognizing that sometimes they need to step in to protect people's rights.
Right. And we can't forget, this case builds on an earlier one, Purcell v. Gonzalez, back in 2006. That one really cemented the idea that courts should be hands-off when it comes to election cases close to the actual voting.
So let's think bigger picture now. What does RNC v. DNC mean for future elections? Especially if there's another emergency or something unexpected happens, what are the takeaways?
Well, one big one is that states still have a lot of control over how they run elections. The Supreme Court is hesitant to interfere, especially right before an election, even if things are tough.
So it's on the states to be prepared, right?
Exactly. They need to think ahead, anticipate problems, and create laws that are both secure and make sure everyone can vote, even in emergencies. And it raises a big question. Should legislatures be the ones figuring this stuff out, making changes when needed, instead of having courts step in at the last minute?
Yeah, proactive versus reactive, right? Fix it before it breaks. And I mean, 2020 was a wild ride, election-wise. Were there other cases like this one challenging election rules during COVID?
Oh, tons of them. Yeah. All over the country, different states, different issues, different outcomes. It was a mess, legally speaking.
Yeah.
In this case, RNC v. DNC, it was early on, so it kind of set the tone for how the Supreme Court was going to approach these COVID election cases.
Okay, so even though this ruling was narrow, just about that postmark deadline in Wisconsin, it sent a message. States have power, courts are going to be cautious.
We got it.
Before we wrap up, let's do a quick review of some of those key legal terms just to make sure everything's crystal clear. We talked about the Purcell principle, right? That's about courts being hands-off with state election rules, especially right before an election.
Right. Don't rock the boat at the last minute.
Exactly. And remember, a stay isn't the final word. It just puts things on hold while the court looks more closely. And then there is per curiam, meaning the whole court agreed, not just one justice writing the opinion.
Important distinctions. And about that postmark date, just to be super clear, Wisconsin law said absentee ballots had to be postmarked by election day to count. The district court extended that, said ballots could be cast after election day as long as they were received by that later deadline. Supreme Court said, nope, that changes the rules too much.
And Justice Ginsburg, she argued that this really hurt voters who hadn't gotten their ballots in time. They either mailed them late and knew they wouldn't count, or they risked getting sick to vote in person.
A tough spot to be in, for sure.
So, to sum it all up, what's the core conflict in RNC v. DNC? It's that tension between sticking to the established rules, you know, keeping things orderly and predictable, and making sure every eligible voter can actually vote, especially when a crisis hits.
Nailed it.
And this case, it leaves us with some big questions, right? What role should courts play when elections get disrupted? Do we need laws that are more flexible so we can adapt to these crazy situations without scrambling at the last minute? RNC v. DNC is a great starting point for thinking about those issues, about how we balance election integrity and voter access in a world that's constantly changing.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Great discussion today. Thanks for diving deep into Republican National Committee v. Democratic National Committee with me. For all of you listening, hopefully this gave you a good grasp of this case and why it matters for election law. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into some more fascinating and important topics.